is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to See Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-62 32 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. You got it. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So before we have a discussion about a couple of things, in the governmental current, let's put it like that. We do want to have a conversation with Dr. Kale Philippe, who has not been with us for quite some time now. She's been ducking me, man. I don't know what's going on, but she's here to talk about a special event coming up by the Bahamas Crisis Center. Welcome, Dr. Philippe.
Back, and hello Bahamas.
it's great to have you back. Every time the Crisis Center is active, there's always the good fortune that somebody has some help to get, and so you have a night of hope and healing coming up. Tell us the context, the background to this night of hope and healing.
Well, the background is that annually the Crisis Center has had this night on September 29th. It really originated from a Caribbean conference of crisis centers in 2015, where they suggested that they needed a day to focus on sexual violence. And it's really an opportunity to allow people to share and discuss and provide recommendations in dealing and addressing sexual violence in the Bahamas, really.
Which, regrettably, we're seeing far more than anybody would like. You don't want anybody. It seems to be escalating, right?
Yes, it is escalating. And we would have predicted this before.
Really? Based on? Yeah.
So remember COVID-19, right? People were locked down. And during that time, CARICOM studies indicated that because of having people so close in relationships and not having the skill and the ability to communicate, that you had the risk of increasing violence. And so during COVID, we would have done a talk, as a matter of fact, a town hall talk about addressing violence and addressing relationships and building relationships. So now this is called, we would have seen the tip of the iceberg. Now it's all brewing up, all anger, frustration, you know, people, communication, didn't have jobs now. So it's something that we would have considered could happen. So I think we're seeing it now.
And to be clear, you didn't say because people were close, you closed in. You said because people were closed in, and then a number of them didn't have the requisite skills to deal with their stress, to deal with each other, to deal with their problems. That was the manifestation that we are now seeing. Because, you know,
that's part of it, yeah.
Because people who, and to my mind, people who are mature, who are maturing, who want to learn how to deal with things, who have good coping skills, mm-hmm. closeness is an asset.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. Communication is a skill. It's something right. you have to learn. I mean, I'm still working on it. And our culture, too, is combative. We were just talking about that. So if I come to you as a child and I'm trying to tell you that I was bullied at school, what's going to be the response of most parents?
When you ain't standing up for yourself?
Aha, yeah. You slap them, you beat them.
Yeah,
up.
No, and that is real.
Would you come in and tell
me? That's real. That's real.
Right.
That's real.
Right. So you're going to respond in a violent way and you're going to incite them. Now, when they go back to school, they need to tap them up rather than trying to figure out, well, so what's going on? What's the school environment? Why are they bullying you? You know, but we have accepted bullying in our culture, in our communication. And violence begets violence. That's not what you want. You really want peace. You want to figure out what's going on. And then, you know, I really respect the men in this country and my own husband, my own father, and, you know, father-in-law, the role and responsibility that men have. And if they're not able to take care of their family, the frustration grows. And so they go into alternative forms of the economy, you know.
Yeah. I was passing a school yesterday. I overheard a young man in a conversation on his cell phone telling someone, "Boy, and dude pull a knife on me, and he pull a knife, but I come in tomorrow and I come here, but it can be problems, but it can be problems." So I stopped and I said, "No, man, no, it can be no problems, because you don't want to do that to yourself. You don't want to invite that kind of issue, because you're okay." And he was, "No, but ain't nobody telling me nothing, but when I come back, there's going to be problems." I said, "Why would you want to do that?" So I tried to talk to him, but I was not breaking him. No. But now, so I called the principal of the school, alerted her to what I had discovered, mm-hmm. and suggested she call the police and alert them about tomorrow, so that they could monitor the situation. But what I learned from them was the adult around the child was defending him, mm-hmm. while the principal was trying to talk him down from this highly elevated aggravation he had suffered.
Right.
And so it's just indicative of the spaces and places in our country where this is real, that the option for me when you mess with me is to do you in.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so we need, so this is an opportunity now to talk about it, to talk through it. So what's the night going to be like?
So an amazing night, a night of hope and healing. We're inviting families, men, women, everyone to come out. You need to RSVP because space is limited. September 29th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our guest speaker is going to be a survivor. She was a previous police officer. Mrs. Linnell Clark will be sharing with us about her experience. You know, we have the welcome. We have a time of reflection. We want to hear from men as well. We also, this night is going to be even more exceptional in that with the sharing, we're going to talk about advocacy. We're going to talk about recommendation. We want to walk away with recommendations that we can, through the crisis center, submit to the government of the Bahamas, the office of the spouse, to advocate to address sexual violence in our country.
Okay. And this is taking place when?
This September 29th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And it's going to be at the Kalina building. Please RSVP by calling the center 328-0922.
That's the J. Whitney Pinder building. So if you're driving on Collins Avenue headed toward Shirley Street, just before you get to the last corner on the right, the last corner on the right, the J. Whitney building is right there, right there. And if you're turning on the Collins Avenue from Shirley Street, when you make that left turn, you pass Doctor's Hospital, and it'll be the first building on the left hand side after you pass that corner, the corner after Doctor's Hospital. So you can't miss it. It's the J. Whitney building. It belongs to Colleen. I know it well because that's where we host our youth leadership meetings in Nassau.
Thanks for the directions.
Yeah.
People to call to RSVP at the Cleaver Center, 328-0922, because space is limited, but it's going to be a powerful night of hope and healing and sharing and coming up recommendations that we need to. The vision for this night is that we really want hope and healing for the nation, communities, families, relationships, and individuals to transform our country.
And you can also email at BahamasCrisisCenter@gmail.com. So that's BahamasCrisisCenter, one word, @gmail.com. You know, my own experience and my own thinking in life has led me to believe that a person living without hope is a really, really endangered person.
Yes.
You really have to have, and hope is the expectation that something good will happen for me tomorrow. Yes. Something I have not yet experienced good will happen for me, and people have to have that kind of hope. Somebody told me that a good definition of hope is knowing where you're going, having a plan to get there, and working on the plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree with you. And, you know, the scripture says, I think in Proverbs said, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Absolutely.
So really, you know, we might have people walking around who have been impacted by sexual violence, both men and women, persons who are LGBTQ, and have nowhere to go, no one to talk to. We want you to come and share and talk with us on that night. And
Yeah. We as humans, we are very resilient. We are really, we can endure a lot, but we need the tools, we need the words, we need the truths, we need the support to get that done. And so here's another opportunity for that to happen, right?
Yes. It doesn't end there. You know, we want you to become an advocate for this work in our country as well.
And Lanelle Clark she used to be a police officer, no longer a police officer.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's an author. I don't want to give it away. She's an author writing children's books now. Her life has been transformed, and she is an advocate for persons who have, you know, experience violence in their lives.
I love this flyer.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, you see that?
Beautiful.
Uh-huh. So information, the butterflies.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. If you want the information and you didn't take it down, if you text me, I'll shoot you the flyer. It's so beautiful, really nice.
And it's on the Facebook. So you can go to Facebook, Bahamas Crisis Center Facebook page as well.
There you go. So again, any last words, Dr. Philippe?
Just to say that, you know, I've been a victim of sexual violence. I am a survivor, and I'm proud to be a volunteer for the Crisis Center. And there are others of you who might have been victims and you've been silent. Break the silence, come out and talk. This night of hope and healing is for all of us, because we want to transform our country. This is a great country that we're in. It's going through a crisis of sexual violence, crime and violence, but it can be changed. It can be changed, and you can be part of that change.
Well, we're delighted you are. We're delighted you're here and doing what you do. Listen, you got to come back, man. Let's have a conversation all on our own without this, without the event. Okay?
I will call you again. Thank you so
please,
much. Continue
please.
The great work in our community.
Thank you very much. Dr. Khaled Philippe, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget the Bahamas Crisis Center presents a night of hope and healing at the J. Whitney Pinder Building. That's the Kalina Building on Collins Avenue. Friday, September 29th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Guest speaker, survivor, Mrs. Linnell Clark. If you want to RSVP, you can RSVP at the Bahamas Crisis Center at gmail.com or the phone number, Dr. Philippe.
328-0922. Please,
RSVP. Super. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into it. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
The Water and Sewage Corporation wishes to advise the public, its customers, and the residents of Unison Subdivision off Carmichael Road, inclusive of side corners, that there may be an interruption to their water supplies between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on September 20th, 2023, for a total of 2 weeks to perform improvement works in Unison Subdivision. During this period, there may also be road closures and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid this area between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
To Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a question for y'all. I hope y'all answer the question, man, because y'all is play sometimes and don't answer the question. So I ain't asked the question. Would you rather hear something that's not true, but sounds good, or something that's true, but don't sound good? One more time. Would you rather hear something that's true, but it ain't so positive and it don't sound good, or something that's not true, but it sound good? Sound good. What would you rather? Please tell me. You're thinking about it. So somebody comes to you and tells you, "Boy, listen to me. I can give you a marvelous car, house, job. It'd be nice, man. Nice. Because I know you need it. I know things been a little shabby, and I know you need it. But that's a total lie. Not only won't they can't give you those things. But it sounds good. And you don't absolutely know that they can't do it. But the fact is they can't do it. But it sounds good. But somebody said to you, man, I can't do nothing for you. I cannot do it. Honestly, I would love to. I'd like to. But I can't do anything for you. What would you rather? You rather someone promise you a job that they can't deliver? Or someone tell you, I cannot deliver a job for you? Do you rather somebody promise you a house they cannot deliver? Or that they tell you, yeah, man, I can work on that. And no. Or say, I can't do that for you. I can't. What would you rather? I'm going to see how many responses I get. I want to hear. I want to know what the kind of mindset is out there amongst the people who answer. I can't say that this is representative of everybody because this is not a scientific survey of a sort, but we're having a conversation today. What would you rather? Would you rather a politician say to you, you know, those people who were in before us, in this particular area, they did a very good job, you know. They did a very good job, actually, but we're going to try to do a better job. Or would you rather them, and that's the truth, or would you rather them say, they ain't do nothing in that area. And when we came in, what would you rather? Would you rather hear the truth, or would you rather hear something that, well, it sounds good, especially sound good for my supporters? Sound good for my boyfriend, sound good for my girlfriend, sound good for my husband, sound good for my wife, sound good for my partner, but it ain't true. What would you rather? Let me tell you something. This is very real, what I'm talking about. This is very real. I have been told in times past by politicians, you can't be so straight talking. You got to give people hope. I say, yeah, but give them hope on something I know I can't do, something I know we can't do. Why would I do that? They say, man, Chicago, this politics, you got to give them hope. Yeah, but you heard Dr. Philippe just now, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You want to know why people get cynical? You want to know why people get skeptical? Because you promise, you don't deliver. So people start to think, this cannot be trusted, that cannot be trusted, and so forth. So what would you rather? You want me send you away with a little hope? Or you want me to tell you the truth? I got four answers so far. I ain't read them yet. I'm waiting. We got to take a break. Do we need to take a break, producer, right now? Just let me know, because I know we just... No, just let me know, please. I don't want us to miss answers what we want to do. Yeah. Special and precious to us. All right, I got you. Thank you, producer. How would you rather? I'm deadly serious now, because I wonder on the basis of what I observe, both in the public and among the leadership of our country at all levels and in all spaces, I wonder if we prefer to be told a kind untruth or an unkind truth. I wonder, which do we prefer? Let me ask you a question, too. When somebody tells you something that your eyes know better, your ears know better, your mind knows better, what do you do? How does that make you feel? What do you think of them? If you know something is not so, but people repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, how does that make you feel when you hear people repeat something to you over and over again that you know to be untrue? Not to be an opinion, because you could have differences of opinion, but something you know to be untrue, because the proof and the evidence and the facts says otherwise. What do you prefer? Bahamians, educated Bahamians, intelligent Bahamians, Bahamians who may not have all these degrees but who have common sense. What do you prefer? You want it to be told the truth, even if it hurts? You prefer that to someone saying, No, I got that. 2 months later. No, I got that. 3 months later. No, I got that. 5 years later. No, I got that. I got 10 years later. I got that. What do you prefer? What makes sense for you from your pastors, from your political leaders, from your leaders in business? What do you prefer? The truth? No. That price on that product was always that price. We didn't increase that price. Oh, really? Let me go pick up my receipt and see what I paid for that same item last month. What do you prefer? Oh, we had to raise the price because inflation, this, and we had to raise the price because this and the next thing. But the government put the duty down, though. Well, you prefer people to come to you and say, listen, man, I'm getting up on my prices next month because X, Y, and Z is the case. So let me show you. Let me demonstrate to you what's going to happen. So I'm sorry I got to hit your pocket, but in business, I can't absorb that. What do you prefer? You know that music would, like when Brian McKnight's singing that sweet music with one... and make a dream come true, too. And you know that nice music playing in the background with those violins and what have you. You prefer that background music to a bunch of untruthful lyrics? Or you prefer some heavy metal music in the background to truth? Which do you prefer? Bahamians? What is it that you prefer? Do you want your leadership? Do you want your parents? Do you want your friends to give it to you straight? Or do you want them to ease it to you in a crooked way, but it ain't quite so? Which do you prefer? Somebody come and ask you how I look. They're going out now, and honestly, you don't think they look. You don't think they dress appropriately. You don't think they dress nicely. What would you do? Do you prefer to gloss over it, tell them a kind lie, or do you prefer to tell them the truth? Your child, your children, but performing a play, in a skit, did not do a good job. Clearly didn't prepare. What do you do? What do you tell them? I'm so proud of you. You did a good job. Or you could say, you know, I'm proud of you. You're great. You made a good effort. But next time, I really want you to do better because, you know, it didn't come off as nicely as I know you can do. What do you do? What is it that we prefer? What does it be before? What? How do we want to deal with this? Well, you keep answering me, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavaro, I'm your host. We'll be back after this break. Think about the question. We'll be back after this break.
Marched the car. The lady run into me, marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Make your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
We're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on the afternoon. So glad you could join us today. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. What is your preference? To be told a kind but untrue thing, as opposed to what might appear to be an unkind but true thing? You prefer people to pretty things up for you in ways that are distortive, manipulative, or misleading, or you prefer them to come straight at you in a way that might be pungent. Prick your heart and go, oh my God. That was hard, but it was the truth. This text says, give me the truth always. This text says, please tell me the truth. This text says, the truth, even if it sounds bad. This text says, true and don't sound good. We could at least work towards whatever is not good and hopefully improve it. Question two, if they repeat an untruth, it makes me feel as if they think I'm dumb. It also belittles them in my eyes, says that text. Text says, always give me the truth. Lying prevents progress because it sells false hope. Tell me the truth so that we can move on and look for other avenues to solve problems. Wow. Wow. Some good stuff you all right. Right. So I'd rather the lie. The truth is a bitter pill to swallow. Most of us can't handle the truth. I'd rather the lie. Boy, I tell you, I'm too stupid for lies. A little hope. So, Mr. Lang, you're causing people to question the person they with. Not me. So, like most of us in happy marriages now and have kids because of that nice lie. You know, as it might sound, that could be true. That could be true. That could be true. You could literally be feeling a little better off because somebody has kept the truth from you. That's true. Sister Lang, I don't know. I think most people prefer a kind untruth. Most people cannot handle the truth and prefer to live in denial. Also, it is not easy to deliver real truth because then you may have to handle the confrontational responses. That is true. That is true. That's true. Not denying that at all. That is true. Very, very true. Well, this text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I would prefer the truth at all times, no matter what. God's continued blessings on you and your family lives. Thank you very much. But you know, let's be real. All of us have probably, I don't want to say definitively, but probably resorted to telling lies at some point in time. And guess what? Like, for instance, the things we tell children, or if something is wrong in the house and they ask, and we might say, well, no, everything is okay. We might, you know, not tell them the truth about some illness or, you know, something like that. So we do that sometimes to spare our loved ones or intimate people some hardship or feelings. We dare not tell them the truth about some things. So this has been a vehicle. Am I suggesting that's the right thing to do? Not at all. But I'm just saying that it is certainly a device that has been employed and been studied, actually. You know, it's been studied. They talk about why children lie. Children lie because they see adults lie. And why do children lie? Because they see adults lie, because they see the lie actually achieve some results for the adult. What do you mean? Policy man is coming. Mommy don't want to pay. Daddy don't want to pay. Tell them I ain't here. And then the child says, well, mommy isn't here. Daddy isn't here. The policy man goes away. Problem solved. Child sees that and thinks, okay, lying can get you a result. So if you want to get avoid something, then just tell a lie. So lies can help, like that person texted. Mr. Lang, you know how hurtful the truth is. 90% who say tell the truth lying. Some people kill themselves because of the truth or kill others. Yes, but what? So from your point of view, it would be better if our political leadership told us some untruths if it would make us feel better. You think so? Think they should tell? They should just, you know, don't tell me what you think they do. And I'm asking you, is that your preference that they should do it? Because you know, the truth could be too hurtful, man. You know what it's like to tell people, no, the unemployment going up, the debt going up, the debt payment going up. We have to lay off some civil servants. You know what? You want to hear that? As opposed to, oh, we're working on this and we're working on that. It's text, I prefer a straight up truth. I can't fight you for the truth. I prefer a politician to tell me that he is in it for self than to say they are about nation building. Ignorance is bliss. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell you the truth, eh? One person say, no, I prefer to lie. Say, if the politics knew the dollar would devalue tomorrow, it would cause chaos. Not necessarily. Not at all. That's only in your head and in your mind, a devalued dollar. First of all, can I say to you, your dollar is devaluing sometimes every day. It's just not devaluing against the U.S. dollar because it's pegged. But as the U.S. dollar devalues against the yen, against the yuan, against the euro, so does your dollar. So your dollar is devaluing at times. You just don't pay attention to it because it's not pegged to the U.S. dollar. And even if your dollar devalued against the U.S. dollar, it would not cause panic. Concern? Yes. Depends on the degree of the devaluation, it would depend on the circumstances producing that devaluation, but it would not cause panic and chaos. It would only in your heads cause panic and chaos because you understand that value to be a certain thing in a certain way. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, right here, my friend. How are you?
Everything good. Listen, lying could be a good thing. Listen, I didn't say the truth, but lying could be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you why I said that. You remember Abraham?
Yeah.
Abraham told a lie. You remember Isaac? Isaac told a lie. Remember Jacob? Yeah. Jacob told a lie. But all them lies was for a good thing. So
and
I just want to say, I ain't conducing lying. But I just,
don't get defensive about it. Let me just say, though, you can't just drop the scripture in there and not give the whole context. Because on one occasion when the lie happened, it caused Pharaoh to be cursed. And in the course of being cursed, he then understood that he was lied to. And that was God's intent to correct the lie.
But his reason for lying was that if he did speak the truth, he would have probably been dead.
No, that was what he assumed. But just how God was able to reveal to Pharaoh what was going on so that the truth could be known, he could have protected him as well. But he just did not know that.
But he wasn't thinking like that right then and there. He just
I understand.
All of us tell a little lie, not to say harm nobody or hurt no one, but just to make person probably happy or make yourself happy.
I agree with you 100%. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Lots of times that happens.
Yes, sir.
Lots of times.
Okay, bro.
Appreciate you calling, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay, man. You too. This Texas awesome show, Mr. Lang, not an advocate for tales and falsehood, but the ugly truth is sometimes lives even save lives. I can't deny that also. That's the point the gentleman was making. I was just giving him the fullest context of the situation, but I can't deny that there have been people can save their own lives by lies, for instance, or they can save other people's lives by lies. That is true. That's true. This is what we call an ethical dilemma. Yeah, right? An ethical dilemma. And it depends on whether you have a deontological approach to ethics or you have a teleological approach to ethics. A deontological approach to ethics says that the means are an end in and of themselves and that no end justifies the means. Therefore, you don't ever lie to achieve even a good end. That's what a deontologist would say. The teleontological person would say, listen, the means justifies, the ends justify the means. So if you have to steal to feed a hungry person, then that's quite okay. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we'll listen to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. Listen, I would rather you tell me the truth, even the bitter truth. You understand me? Because I feel like if you're telling me the truth, and at the end of the day, it helps me to better myself, I would prefer the truth.
But what if the truth doesn't help you better yourself?
That's okay. The truth is still the truth. It would just be the bitter truth for me to know. I'd rather know the truth. I'd rather know that you don't like me, and let me know that than to pretend to like me, because you could kill me if you lie into me like that.
Right.
You understand me? And then
go ahead.
To public persons, like governments and stuff, I don't think they should lie to the people. I don't think you can sugarcoat it, because at the end of the day, you would be confusing persons who only hear a part of what you're saying and not hearing the full story.
Okay.
You understand me?
All
so
right.
I would rather you tell me the truth right off the bat. It's like I feel like telling the truth is like you critiquing what it is that I need to know or what I need to do to better myself.
Whether you like it or not, when you
tell somebody something about themselves, it ain't always easy, you know. You can tell somebody they smell, but it's how you say it will tell them to say, hold on now, let me fix this, because if she tells me this, I can imagine how much people see it and didn't say anything.
I got you.
You know, so I feel like, tell me the truth. Please don't lie to me, because eventually I will find out you're lying. That's the thing, the lie. When you tell a lie, you have to find another lie to pretty up that lie, and then you find another lie to pretty up that lie. Before you know it, you become a professional liar.
Some people went to their graves with lies. Yeah. Some lies can last a long time.
A very long time.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you calling.
Okay.
This Texas political leaders should tell the truth and offer solutions as to how to rectify the situation. Or maybe the truth is the situation is not rectifiable. They might be able to say that truth too. It says all political parties are all untruthful. Prefect, perfect example, BPL, none can fix it. But what does not being able to fix something have to do with not telling the truth? The two of those don't go together. You could be trying to fix something. My son to be assembled. I tried my hardest to fix it. And I couldn't fix it. What does that have to do with telling the truth? I sitting there trying to fix it. That don't follow. You have to fix that. You have to say that differently. This text says, Mr. Lang, you think the average man won? He had the first child, ain't his, and the last child he may not want to hear it. But is it the truth? It's a good day. Two things. One, my neighbor introduced me to her 1 month old son and said, me? Isn't he cute? I could not lie. So I said, he looks like just like his dad. The next thing is, I think it's you who said that former PM Ingram said to you to always tell him the truth because the decision that he may make depends on what you had told him and may have negative effect on people of the country. That stick with me. Well, Ingram is definitely a straight up fella. He doesn't believe it. Tell me the truth. Say, I promise not to write again, but I know this woman who said she wants the truth. I know she is political. I'm tired of hypocrisy. Menace is my cousin, but the PLP doing some. You want me cuss on the finger? So I just want you to know I'm always objective. Yeah, but just because you're objective doesn't mean I might and others might agree with you. So don't take it personally if people don't agree with you. And don't think that people are being personal because they don't agree with you. Sometimes I just don't agree. You don't have nothing to do with your objectivity is hard when it's your opinion. When you're given your opinion, that's not objectivity. That's highly subjective. Objectivity is, you know what? I believe that the economy wasn't growing when the government changed. That's your opinion. But the fact is the economy was growing by 14%. So that's objectivity to say, you know, that was my opinion that it wasn't growing. But in fact, according to the Department of the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, it was growing by 14%. And that's objectivity, not my opinion. So anytime you use stating your opinion, you are actually, in fact, being selective. This text says hope to stand on is the truth. It's not always easy or convenient, but it's helpful. Well, the Buddhists say if a thing is unhelpful, untrue, don't say it. If a thing is helpful and untrue, don't say it. If a thing is helpful and true, find the right time to say it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 4224, WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So most people want to be told the truth, prefer to be told the truth, even if it's an ugly truth. Most people, there are those who believe, though, that a lie can be helpful, if at the very least to save people some hurt. And there's no question that we have found, all of us perhaps, occasions when it was just easier to tell a lie, easier to twist the truth, easier to be less than forthright with people, people close to us, people far from us, you know. I told you all this before. And this, as far as I can recall and tell, in public life, I have never lied to the public. Never. I preferred to keep my mouth shut, say something that later on got me labeled with arrogant or cold or that kind of thing. But lying to the public, Mr. Ingram instilled that in me. He said to me, Shivago, if you lie to the public and, you know, that you lose trust, right? And that trust in a political leader is the most important currency. That's what he taught me. That was why. So I go on shows and, you know, Wendell Jones interviewed me quite often on his show. Wendell Jones would say, boy, one thing I could say with you, almost always after we finish the show, he says, one, you're always available, and two, you just come ready to be straight up. Even if you say, I don't know. I remember one time saying, I don't know, on a show, and being lambasted by Daryl Miller. Who's the minister? You don't know, you know how Daryl was, you know? I remember confronting Daryl. Daryl hung up on me. But I've been in situations where constituents asked me to do things. They didn't do that things. It's just that they asked me to do things. And I said, I can't do that. I can't. It won't happen. It won't happen. I told them it won't happen. Sometimes I even said something couldn't happen or wouldn't happen. And then when I checked later on with folk, I found that it actually could happen. I just didn't know. I just didn't believe that it could happen. Does that mean I never told a lie? Please, come on. I'm 56 years old. But I do not believe that lying is the way. I do not believe that being untruthful is the way. I do not. And any time I have ever done it, my conscience before God and self has been greatly pricked. I said, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in practicing it. And even to the extent of being disliked, I believe it is better to tell the truth, even though the consequences for doing so could be stark, really stark, could be really hurtful, right? But lots of lies that, you know, we have told, right? Now, that's different than a thing you keep secret. That's not the same, right? Now, you could be deceptive by keeping a secret, but, and that too has its own consequences. So here's the thing. So yes, can I just share this with you all? since from a political perspective. So here's the thing. You tell me if I have it wrong. So in our politics, this is a common practice. Common practice. That win office is by denigrating your performance in office. That's the way I get it. So if you're in opposition, you want to beat down all the negativity on the governing party, you can beat down. Now, granted, the governing party might be deserving of that beatdown. So you may be entirely telling the truth. Entirely telling the truth. So, you know, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, they did this wrong, they did that wrong. So you beat them down. So typically they mess up, you keep beating them down, and then the public fires them, hires you. Here's where it gets tricky. Now, in office, I may not have a stellar performance. I may not have a stellar performance. But the way that I can soften the fact of my lack of stellar performance is by highlighting your bad performance that caused you to lose. Or by maybe not speaking up about that performance. This is a common practice. This can happen in politics. Is that better? Is that good? You say, well, let me give you an example. All right, y'all don't get mad at me now. Don't get mad at me. And when Minnis was in opposition, and it's cool, they beat down the Christie administration, for example, on the spy bill. Mashed them up. Oh, they're only trying to invade your privacy, blah, 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 on the spy bill. And I mean, beat down the PLP, beat down the Christie administration on spy bill. Guess what was the first bill they passed in Parliament? If it wasn't the first one, it was one of the first, but I believe it was the first bill, the spy bill, the so-called. First one. And then in office, was really beaten down on them about the amount of bills left behind and the deficit left behind, etc. And frankly, I believe that was a massage number. And I'm not saying it couldn't have been old, but it was not unusual for that to happen in any administration during a turnover. But it was so $600 million worth of unpaid bills was how it was touted. Now that could have been said in similar fashion of any administration, but that's how you do it. You beat them down when you're out of office. When you come to office, you beat them down for what they did because you are trying to accentuate what you did, or you are trying to make less unpopular what you have done. So that's what the Minnis administration do. The Christie administration, the Davis administration is doing a similar thing. Don't get mad at me. So every single time that the government, the prime minister gives an accounting of his tenure, the prime minister and his colleagues say that we met an economy that was in the doldrums. We met an economy that was in shambles, essentially, that wasn't growing. That is simply not so. It is not so. I mean, it is grossly not so. In fact, our economy prior to the Davis administration coming to office was roaring back. Roaring back, the same words the prime minister used in his speech. That's the truth. You can look at the Bahamas National Statistical Institute GDP growth in 2021. it was 14 or so percent. It is not possible for the Davis administration, 13% growth in less than 4 months of being in office. It is not possible. Almost nine months of the year had gone. And no one could say that that was attributable to the new administration. So it was not so. Right? But we continue to say it. And this is what we do. Now, here's the problem with this. Maybe for the average soul, you swallow it. Maybe for supporters, you swallow it. For the average soul, who cares? But for observers, and there are many, watch. You start to think not just of the Davis administration, of the Minnis administration, of the Ingram or the Christie, where these things happen. You start to wonder, can anyone really be straight up? Is anyone prepared to say, you know what, this isn't going to make me look good? We started very strongly under Minnis and continued so under us. We can't say that. We find it too hard to be that truthful. Well, to be that straight up. It's very hard. I mean, and listen, I'm not even suggesting people are just simply trying to be malicious about this. You know, it's a bad habit of our politics that we tend to do this, right? And so why do we do it? Because we don't put a lot of stock in the value and benefit to be gotten from being straight up. In other words, there's no benefit to me by giving Minnis 1 ounce of credit for anything he's done. Not 1 ounce of value to me for giving Davis 1 ounce of credit. What is it? Now, to his credit, Michael Pintard has tried to have that point of view. I don't think his supporters like that though. But because, and that's the thing. We it's not just the politicians. It's we who are the supporters of them don't like it. We want to jump down. We want to jump down people's throat. Took a dive in their politics and so forth and so forth because this serves our cause. And so you almost feel put off. Me, for instance, put off to have to come and forward and say, listen, but the facts are not that. That is not what the statistics reveals. It does not reflect that. Okay, it does not. Right? The law does not say that as you say it. Here is what the law in fact says. Because you fear, somebody's going to say, oh, you against them. Oh, you support them other people when it had nothing to do with that. We are public commentators observing the realities of the current affairs of our country. And so I'm saying to you that the appetite we tend to have to perform good tendency of our leadership to tell us what we want to hear. You got churches who will not preach a hard message about hell, will not preach a hard message about sin, because these days ain't nobody want to hear. Some people don't want to hear that. They were here about how to make more money, how to prosper from the gospel. Hallelujah. And so the preacher preached what they want to hear. Preach for the women, because women make up the majority of the congregation. So they preach against the man. This text says, Lang told you guys give the Aguilar a medal for tourism, but when the award came, he was a few months in office. He got recognized because he was the minister, but he just came to office. Lang, when you in power, you take the good or the bad, but F&Ms always love the good. If you empower when something good happens, you take the praise, but you take the bad too. Why F&Ms only want the good? Be fair. You know something that is strange to me? I have to wonder about your own honesty. Because you're in FNM or something, but PLP or... But what do you mean FNM? Why FNMs? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Right? So the FNM don't like to take negativity and power and it comes to the power. What you talking about? Anyway, I wouldn't even answer you because that I never hear such nonsense in my life. Nonsense. FNMs and PLPs don't want to hear negative things about themselves. That's the reality. You don't want to hear nothing negative but said about yourself. And so when it's said, you might feel away. But don't want to accept negativity. Hubert Alexander Ingram came on my show. And you know what Hubert Alexander Ingram said? He said he greatly regretted that he didn't do this, he didn't do that, and the next thing, and so forth, and so forth. Admit it. That's X, Y, and Z. What you talking about? So PLPs just run around saying, oh, yes, yes, please, please, talk about all that bad stuff we did. Please go right ahead. Some of y'all is terrible. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a break. We'll be back after this break. You listen to the Z Live. I'm Shabago Langdos.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 352-6676.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We have some callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi.
Yes. Hi, yes, sir.
Hello.
Hello. All right, producer, we need to go to the next caller. That person is distracted, it seems. Go ahead. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Mr. Lang, can you hear me?
I can hear you well, yes.
Only thing I give Dr. Minnis credit for calling the election.
Uh-huh.
You hear me? I give him credit for calling an election.
Okay.
That's the only thing I give him credit for. But he had a poor administration.
Okay.
Very poor. Poor in the Ministry of Sports and Youth. I think I must be fair, and the Minister of Work, Desmond Bannister, he had the best man when it comes to work. He got the job done.
And now, can I say to you that I hear you, I hear what you're saying, and I did not believe he had a good and solid administration either, but, you know, crime, and this is prior to the pandemic, prior, so I'm making that clear, crime prior to the pandemic had gone down under his administration. Prior to the pandemic, the deficit of the Bahamas was headed in the right direction prior to the pandemic.
I know you're a financial man, but allow me to disagree with you.
No. What you have to do is you're not going to disagree with me. You're going to give me You're going to give me numbers to counter that, because the numbers are clear. They are right there.
Well, the numbers are more, the numbers are more clear in the Brad Davis.
No, but we weren't talking about the Davis CC. That's
yeah, but that, that's what I'm saying now.
No, hold on. No.
Okay.
We weren't comparing two administrations.
I agree with you. I go back to say this administration was poor. The only one really performed, like I said, was really Desmond Bannister.
Okay.
And I think even the FNM called their convention, Desmond Bannister should be the leader of the FNM.
Who? Who's that?
Desmond
Bannister.
Yeah, should be the leader of the FNM.
Okay, I got you.
What you think?
No, man, I don't. That's not my call in this. I don't get in that.
Oh, you're not FNM anymore.
I am the executive director of the Government and Public Policy Institute.
I talk about that. Now I mean the government, but you're not FNM anymore.
I said I am the executive director of the Government and Public Policy Institute.
I come to my conclusion. I come to my conclusion on that.
You can come to whatever conclusion you wish, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you a lot, bitch.
Yeah, man. You too, bro. Day. This text says, I want to encourage you that while on this show, a lot of us, 2 to 4 is teachable moments for a lot of us. I only tell you the truth, man. Sometimes you don't like it, but I can tell you the truth. For my opinion. It could be sound. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Brother Lang, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Well, I'm holding on. God is good, man. Good show yesterday with the health issue, health matters, and information.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, what I was saying basically is that we as Bahamians, and you're talking about honesty, I think we have to evaluate situations or matters that come before us with facts and information. Because no matter how you look at it, governments come and go, but we as Bahamians should be able to determine whatever the issues are to make sure that this is your point, you bring your point across, and it's accurate. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's for us. Governments come and go. So we have to be truthful to ourselves, right, on what's going on, because really it helps us to grow. And it helps us intellect about how could we fix this country, no matter who's in power. And guess what's up? Guess what happens, Chicago? We'll be able to choose better leaders as we go along, because in choosing leaders, the right leaders to run this country, you know, you find yourself that you have some leaders may be immature, but the persons, the behemoths, will be able to say, okay, we don't want that. The levels are set up here, and if you qualify, if not, you're not qualified. We want something else. So just to edify ourselves, we must keep moving direction and coming with good points of view and substantial figures and facts and information that can strengthen your story or your facts that you want to bring across. But you got to do your homework. And if you want to compel me to understand, you say, bring your facts, and I'll say, okay, we'll just compare it. It makes it better.
Okay. Well, yeah, we appreciate it. Okay. Yeah, you see, take Pumpkin Eater just now in this calling. There is no question that the fiscal situation of the Bahamas, according to the numbers that are published in the government's budget documents, are headed in the right direction. There's no question about that, that the deficit is declining, revenue is going up, expenditure is going up, but not at the same rate. So there's no question about that. So if you want to say things are worse, fiscally speaking, that's just not true. Not according to the numbers, right? So you got to be able to do that for the Davis administration, for the Minnis administration, for the Christie administration, etc. If you just want to opine that this one ain't good, or this one was never good, or that one was bad, that's okay. That's your opinion. And so I take that like all the tissue running around the place. It is tissue. Right? But if you want to make a claim that moves somebody to persuasion about something that you are trying to promote, then some evidence should be there in support thereof. You know, you're saying Minnis and them was bad, except Desmond or Davis was bad except this one. That's an opinion based on what? Right? And so that's where, you know, and again, you can state your opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. When you get a chance, can you shed any light on what is going on with ROX? I know they were on your show before. I am trying to come get up to full speed with ROX. I do not want to like that without the facts, okay? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
This is the guy calling from Florida. This is the guy calling from Florida again. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm driving. If I get cut off, I'm driving. Hey, check this out. Why do most Bahamians only interested in an election when it's going around the election time? When the election over, they really don't care about the election. You know, then, man, the government, if you don't keep up with the government and the government do this, they're always talking about government need to do this. But, you know, I go to all of my local government meetings, like city board. I you know, I voice my opinion. You know what I'm saying? If I don't like someone, I voice my opinion. But people need to get more into the politics. And the same set of people who are against this government, if they voted in another government, they'd be complaining again. But, you know, why is that?
Well, I mean, you're right that Bahamians, many, many Bahamians are not going to go to meetings, not going to weigh in on stuff like that. But boy, they're interested. They may be talking by the house. They may be talking in the bar. They may be talking on the base, Arwa Key, but they are interested in their politics. And that's why our registration, and voter participation has tended to be so high. Because if you look at the United States of America, they can't compare to us in that regard.
Okay, that's right. Cool. Okay. So I feel like a lot of people who don't vote, they got the loudest vote. I feel like if you have the right to vote and you don't vote, you have no space. You know what I'm saying?
I got you, brother.
They take that right away from you. If they take that right away from you, they'll have a problem. You know what I'm saying? Me, I vote for everything in our limit. I was collected, sheriff. I vote, you know. Because, you know, like, people don't realize people die for what in other countries like Cuba and North Korea and all some of the Middle East, they don't even have the right to vote, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So even if you got to mock Mickey Mouse, you know, that's exercise your right, man, you know what I'm saying? And I always tell people, if you don't vote, you know, if 1,000 people say they don't vote, that 1,000 votes could make or break an election, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you, brother. I got you. Thank you. Appreciate you calling. my message. I mean, not well. What I was trying to tease out of you today is that I think we are better off when we are straight up, as accurate as we can be, as truthful as we can be. I think we're better off. And I honestly think, well, let's put it like this. I agree with politicians who believe that there can be injury from being straight up. I believe that is so. That so you if you be straight up, I believe like it can hurt your cause sometimes. But I don't believe that the truth, being truthful straight up, can ever hurt your cause long term. I don't believe that. And I believe that in leadership, even if your cause will be hurt by the truth, I believe it is what your duty calls you to do. I believe that. You can't stop people from believing what they won't believe about what you say. You can't stop people from disagreeing with you about what you say. You can't stop people from believing you is the worst lying son of a, no matter the fact you're telling the truth. You can't stop people from doing that. Just as Jesus couldn't stop the Pharisees and the Sadducees from telling them that he was the son of Satan. Couldn't stop them. Even though he was casting out the demons, they still told him he was casting them demons out by Beelzebub. Jesus said, well, if Beelzebub casting out demons, and demons belong to him, isn't he fighting against himself? But they say, you can't stop people from believing what they believe. But that doesn't stop you from telling the straight up, right? You don't have to tell people all your business. You can withhold whatever information you want to withhold if you decide it's not the right time. But if you're going to speak, try to be accurate. Try to be straight up. Don't try to throw no curves. And, you know, it's just not helpful. It is unhelpful. Ignorance or the leadership of the country, the business or anything of that nature, not to do so. It makes more sense to be straight up. People ain't always like you for it. Mr. Ingram knows that. I know that. But it's better. Amen. Go home and you can lay down here on your bed and you ain't gonna wonder if that lie coming back to bite you, haunt you. Right? And so the truth, you know, you as a public, whether you're going to church or you're going to politics, it's the same thing. In the church, the Bible says of the Berean believers, we call them, the Berean believers said, that they went home and searched these things out for themselves. We are admonished in the church. Study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul said, let his own soul salvation defend, trembling. So yes, the preacher preaches, and yes, the teacher teaches, but you and I have a responsibility to go and search these things out for ourselves. Same thing in politics. The politician speaks, shares what he or she shares. You search them out for yourself. See whether these things be so or not. But it would be useful if you could say, and typically they are straight up. And the way they, you know, what they say is a thing I have seen to be true. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break, celebrate, thank our sponsors, and do our duty for them. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of care, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Being an investor has its benefits. Like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
Like he drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, for these remaining moments of the show. This text says, Z, straight up, but not abrasive or brutal. It's based on the tone most times. I'm a straight up person, but I always think of the impact to people's feelings and soften the approach. Well, you know, I understand that. I don't agree with that altogether, because it depends on circumstances and situations. When you are trying to get people out of a burning room, people scream and yell, shout at people. When you're trying to get a child to not run in the road to get knocked down, you scream at the child and so forth and so forth. Sometimes you as a person and a communicator, you're angry. Angry is anger. You're angry, so you may say something. So I think that just how you're trying to spare people's feelings, you also are a person of feelings. And so maybe your passions isn't aroused or something like that. Malcolm X had brutal words to say people might regard for black, some white folk, back in the day. But he was speaking in many instances of truth. God said, used to say to Israel, you went out a whoring and door. It wasn't pleasant, but it was what he said. You know, Jesus called Pharaoh Herod an old fox, and the people who were set. So I don't buy that. Circumstances sometimes require you to speak to people in a language they can understand. All right, but what you don't do is attack people's personage. Okay, and at the end of the day, I tell my kids, listen, it don't make no difference. They don't make no best difference at the end of the day, people's tone. You might like it, but what matters is, are they speaking the truth to you? Are they saying something to you that makes sense, that can help you? That's what matters the most. Yeah, you could spare people's feelings, but I think we do sometimes too much of that, far too much of that. And so really what we end up doing is lying. We end up sparing them a truth that can help their lives, improve their situation. So yes, I understand that, but I ain't sparing the feelings all the time. I ain't gonna lie to you. It depends on the situation. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we listen to you.
Yes, this is Shivago Lang, Alan Johnson. It's good that you brought that up, because you tied right into my pet peeve I just want to call you about. Because I was going to ask you a question. What political party are you, and when did you become a political party? because when people say, are you a PLP? Are you a political party? See, this is the problem, is that we no longer have philosophical beliefs. And so, for instance, with me, right? 99% of the people they talk to me would actually believe that I'm philosophically aligned with the PLP of 1953 and 1956, not today. Most of them, I challenge them that most of them don't know the philosophy of what the party actually stood for. So they say things, if you oppose the party, or you critique what they're doing, or you support another party's position because it more aligns with yours or what you're trying to achieve, then you're no longer a political party. Oh, you're no longer a PLP. You're no longer an F&M. And that is a very negative that we have. And so what happens is, when you actually have no philosophical beliefs that we can't debate, then we can't debate ideas and how it aligns. Because we both be going in the same direction, but we just have two different approaches on how we would achieve that. And so I think somehow we need to get away from this are you a PLP? Are you still FNM? Are you still a PLP? Are you still this, whatever? And simply say, hey, what is it that you believe today? And what is your position?
And also to recognize what it means to be, say, an FNM, or a chosen a political affiliation, a caucus, to say that I more closely relate to and will associate myself with this party, isn't to say you know everything about me. You know everything about my positions. You know everything about my thoughts. As you were saying, doesn't tell you know everything about my philosophical beliefs.
So
when people try to say, are you PLP or FNF, they're trying to pigeonhole you so that they can say, I can dismiss all of this you said before, or I can accept all of this you said before, because having put that label on you, you are all of that. That's like saying every man is the same as every man. That's not true. There's a quote that says, every man is not.
Right. Also, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ believes exactly the same thing. So we just have no more of these different denominations. So, but I just wanted to insert that and wish people would just begin to listen to ideas. And then, you know what? If you have a philosophical belief, you could determine that any particular idea I'm talking about, then you'll be like, oh, I see where he's aligned with that particular idea, or what he's trying to express it. And then you could also take critique, because if you know what you believe, when I come to you and I say, hey, we are not doing what we say we are, then you will realize.
Thank you. It is especially more difficult these days to know, like, if somebody says they FNM and PLP, what does that automatically believe? What does it mean? Like, what is the philosophy of an FNM? What is the philosophy of the PLP party, the FNM party, that once you identify with them, that you could say, well, because I am an FNM or PLP, you can say that I am that. What is that philosophy? Tell me somebody, anybody. What policy does an FNM subscribe to that a PLP does not subscribe to? What policy does a PLP subscribe to that an FNM does not subscribe to? What economic policy? What social policy? What immigration policy? Tell me which one. And when you tell me it, you got to show me how that difference has been manifested each time they have governed. The Bahamas' economic policy has not changed in 50 years. Its social policy hardly changed in 50 years. It's immigration policy in 50 years. all these two parties have governed back and forward. We still have a currency that's fixed to the US dollar. We still have a fairly benign monetary policy as a consequence of it. What's it? You could argue, say, what, the FNM believes more in free enterprise, and you say, but manifested by how? Well, they sold off a number of state-owned enterprises. So you could say that, maybe. What's the difference? When the budget is presented, all of them walk inside there and say, oh, we're happy to say no new taxes or increases in taxes. What are we doing in the way of taxation? Same regressive taxation system. What's the difference? So what does it mean to be FNM versus PLP, other than the colors and affiliation? I mean, mind you, somebody might say there's a difference, but I'm just saying, I'm asking you, and you ask people, what does that mean? People voting FNM this election, PLP the next election. People. There are people who always vote FNM, always vote PLP, and if they can't vote FNM or PLP, they ain't gonna vote. So they're committed to that cause. On the basis of what? Affiliation, association, long-term history, family, legacy, and heritage, and all that kind of stuff, but based on policy differences, what? Does the FNM believe in democracy and the PLP believe in communism? Does the PLP believe in communism, democracy, and the FNM believe in communism? Does the PLP believe in a neoclassical economic model versus a classical economic model like the FNM, or are they monetarist versus Austrian economic theorists like some. What's the difference? There's not really any real difference. That's the truth. The differences are on the margins, and the differences are more reflective of management, maybe you could argue. Management. But substantively speaking, the policies of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas have not been wide-rangingly different. There are some. And you can see that reflected in that reflected. But it's not star. Not star. And even on that, they might not be straight up to tell you. Say, good day, sir. Ask any supporter of any person claiming one or the other what the philosophy of the parties is. I'm almost certain they can't tell you. I just mean you're on the same page with that. Same page. I can tell you most of them can't. Most of them can't tell you what's inside their party's constitution. Is that what's in the party constitution? They can tell you who Ingram is. They can tell you who Pendleton is. They can tell you who Successor was. They can tell you who Scandal was. They can tell you who Selendon was. They can tell you who Amy Hanna was. And lots of personalities strong and significant in the parties. But what's in that constitution? How often should you have conventions? And what's the process of having those conventions? How do you become a member? And how? What are the organs of the party? I can't tell you. Why? It was in the Bahamas Constitution too many times. Because those are not things with which we trouble ourselves. Right? We trouble ourselves with the realities on the fringe. By the way, let me tell you that. Next week, Thursday, I am beginning an exercise on Z Live, where we are going to read on a Thursday every single word of the Bahamas Constitution until it's done, so that anyone who listens on every one of those Thursdays will be able to say, I have with Mr. Lang, I have with Shivago Lang, read through the entire Constitution of the Bahamas. And I forget those of you all who I have copies for. Well, I did forget because I lose that phone. And so if you don't text me, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Shivago, good afternoon. How are you, my brother?
Hey, man, I'm right here trying to do what I can.
It's a very, very interesting conversation that you're having here. And in fact, you touched on something that I've touched on it already. Two things here. Is it a requirement that every parliamentarian in our parliament know our Bahamas Constitution inside and out, even though they may not fully understand the full context of what the Constitution is, but should they have already gone through the Constitution to get a general grasp of what it's all about? That's one. And then the second part, you touched on it as well, because I'm tired of fussing out a lot of persons who say that they are PLPs and they're FNMs. Do they really understand what is the fundamental principles and basis of why the party is the party? A lot of them say that they are party supporters and they do not understand what the party principles and stuff is all about. So that is the two things that I always discuss with people. And apparently from what I find out, a lot of them just don't know what the party is all about. They say most of the answers I get is, my grandma and grandfather were PLP, so I'm a PLP or FNM. And likewise, my mommy and daddy, if you want to stay in the house, we have to be PLP or FNM. It is so ridiculous. Find out what your party is all about. And if the founding principles is far different from what they are today in action, then you should not call yourself a PLP, FNM, if it does not align with what is in the best interest of the Bahamian people. Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. By the way, a seventh grader could read the Constitution of the Bahamas and, if taken enough time, understand it. So if you're reading it, there is no sophistication in the Constitution that would make it difficult for you to understand. So That ain't going to be no problem. If a parliamentarian reads it, they're going to understand it. As my son, when he was in sixth grade, could talk to me about the Brown versus the Board of Education, and he was in the United States of America in their school looking at things and could explain that. So if you read the Constitution, you'll be able to understand it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do the whole thing and tell them that. And so at least you could say, someone walk with me through the entire Constitution of the Bahamas. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabba Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God bless you. And if he spares life, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.